Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 26, Seek, Dwell, Gaze. Sarah Stepinski delivered this message on June 10th, 2018.
Praise the Lord. Yes, last week was awesome. I left here like all revved up. I don't know about you guys. We are in the series Up, I don't know the exact order, Upgrade, Uplift, Upright. And Brother Enoch last week talked about identity and a lot about our thoughts, right? That we have the mind of Christ. Wasn't it powerful? Wow. If you weren't here, get the CD or get the podcast. God is so good. He's been stirring my heart for this message and about intimacy for a while, for some weeks, months maybe. And I want to give you a proposition. I have a proposition for you. If I were to give you... Oh, I have a ring on today. Okay. It's a nice one. I never wear it, but thought, oh, today. And then now I see why God is so good. Okay. I was like, oh, I think I'm going to wear this ring. Kind of matches, I guess. I don't know. Okay, this is why. I don't have pockets, but it's okay. Imagine that I were to give you, let's say this ring is worth $10,000. I don't think it is, but let's just pretend, okay? And I'm going to give each of you a ring of the value of $10,000. And you have to keep it in your pocket and keep it for a week. How do you think that would affect you? How would that, having that ring, the valuable ring in your pocket, how do you think that would affect you throughout that week? Think about it for a second. Don't you think you would be checking your pocket, right? Okay, I'm going to make a little pocket here. So let's pretend this is my pocket. You'd be like, is it there? You know, I'm at work, I'm driving, is it still there? You're going to become more and more aware, like hypersensitive, aware of, I need to take care of this ring. I need to not stand on my head. I need to not like do somersaults so that it's going to fall out. I need to hang on to what I've been given, the value of this. Well, guess what? We have a gift that's so much more valuable than a $10,000 ring. And guess what? It lives inside of us. Not it, it's Jesus. The person, the character of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, he lives inside of us. And, you know, I want this message today. My goal is to encourage us, to push all of us together to just have, like, to run to his presence, to seek intimacy with him, and to just be so aware that we get a deeper revelation of his presence within us, that we want to connect with that presence, that we're taking care of it, that we're like, we don't really have to question, is he still with me? You know, he's always with us, but just taking care of that, fostering that intimacy, that awareness of his presence with us. Do we appreciate what we have? Because he's with us all the time. He lives inside of us. The creator of the universe lives inside of us. What a valuable gift we have. And I think God has been trying to, I know God has been trying to get my attention with this message because, and man, as soon as I like, you know, understood that this is what he's wanting for me, ooh, what comes against that? I become more, you guys know me that I'm a Martha, I tend to be, I shouldn't declare that, but the old Sarah is a Martha. Like, I'm a task-oriented person. I have to-do lists. I like to be efficient, and I like check off the list. So sometimes, being vulnerable, you know, like sitting down and have a concentrated prayer time is a struggle for me, and I have to press through to that to be like, help me be Mary, Lord, help me be Mary. I want to be Mary. And I'm like, oh, I got to do that thing, and oh, what, I need to get the meat out to thaw for dinner tonight, and I'm a planner, and it's just like, put the to-do list away, like just sit at his feet. And the more that I've understood that that's what the Holy Spirit is wanting for me, the more of a struggle it's been, and I'm like, I'm so to Martha, like, oh, you know, like, help me, Jesus. And like more and more, I'm like wanting to be Mary and feeling that struggle. But intimacy with Jesus will cost us something, right? It's going to cost us something. And I'm saying, Lord, help me. I'm ready to just lay my busyness, my Martha-ness down, because his presence, that connection with him is so much better than whatever little satisfaction I get from checking something off my to-do list, right? It's his presence. We need him. So this is Colossians 2:2-3. This is my objective today. It says, my goal, Paul is saying this, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches, not just part of it, the full riches. And let me tell you, he is full. The presence of God is full. So that they may have the full riches of complete, nothing missing, nothing broken, it's complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Wow, that is so packed. We could spend a whole series on that, the whole day on that. That they may have, and when it says they, I'm including myself in that, so that we may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that we may know. I didn't look up the Hebrew, the Greek meaning of this word, but I know in other places where the English word to know, the Hebrew translation of that is actually to know, like as an experience, the intimacy. And it actually, it's the same verb as like a husband and wife being intimate. It's that closeness. It's that being united, that intimate. And I'm not sure if that's the same Greek or Hebrew word here. But when I read that, that they may know that it's not just a head knowledge, but that we may know, that our hearts and our spirits may connect. That's my objective today, to have us, that you leave out of here, it's like, I just don't want to ever leave his presence. I want to seek and dwell, stay there, gaze on his beauty. I want his intimacy. And I want to just, you know, if I need to, lock myself in my room and just be with him, just hang out with him. Because in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. A treasure so much more than the value of a ring, right? The treasures. Who needs some wisdom and knowledge today? Praise God, don't we all? In this world that we're living in, we need wisdom and knowledge. And it's available to us. Amen. Are we willing to pursue? Like that word that God gave me a couple months ago, that I shared during the transition time. Are we pursuing him? Are we seeking, running after him with all that we are? Because he's there for us. And the Lord showed me, as I was preparing for this message this week, the Lord showed me that, like a picture of what intimacy is, and that the Lord's face, I like opened my eyes and it was like the Lord's face, his heart, his love was just like right there above me, like fixed on me. Like, cause he's there. He's with us. He's the ever present God. And he's saying, I'm with you. My presence is with you. But intimacy is when I actually tune into that. And I'm dialed into the same frequency, the same channel as that. Amen. Right? Amen. Because he's always with us. He lives inside of us. Amen. But then why aren't we always living 100% full intimacy with him? It's because of this Martha syndrome, right? Whether it's physical, whether you're like me, a task person, or just we're listening to so much other stuff. We're busy in our thoughts. We're busy, you know, we fill ourselves with so much, whether it's activity or TV or music or technology or whatever it is, that we're not like quieting ourselves down to just connect to where, to his gaze that's already upon us. And so I want to ask Enoch and Keziah to come on up, and because the Lord showed me their faces during the worship time to demonstrate this. And so come on up, my actors. Okay, so yeah, so Enoch represents the heart of the Father. He represents the Father longing to speak to his child, to his daughter. Okay, so as I'm talking, you guys can go ahead and do this.
Come here. Looking for you. Waiting to talk to you. Look here. I love you. Hey there. Hey, I'm here.
Hey.
Hey. Who's that?
Yeah.
I'm here.
I'm coming
to you.
Yeah. Do you want to watch the show?
I love you.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. Yeah, come on.
I want to be with you.
Yeah, come on.
Hey, I'm waiting here for you.
Turn back.
Hi.
Can you hug her?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Wish you could turn around and see them walking away like a real hug there of love and affection. Isn't that it? We're just like distracted. When I say we, I'm preaching to myself up here. This is so for me. But God wants to encourage us. His word says, and I'm not sure where this is because God was just downloading all this stuff to me, that he will quiet you with his love. Do you know that verse? It says, I don't think it's Zephaniah, but he will quiet you with his love. And so that when Keziah just got quiet and turned back around and like ignored me, the distraction, then they locked eyes and the Father could get his message, his heart, his love, his guidance, his direction to her. And then there's connection. And that's what God's aim is. He will quiet us with his love. That is such an encouragement to me. So, okay. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, "But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit." We have to be united with him. Are we united with him? United, like one with him. When we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the living God, comes to consume our spirit. Right? And so we're one in spirit with him. But are we really? Are we really? In our thoughts, in our activity, in our time, the way that we spend our time, the way that we spend our life, are we united with him? Because we have to be connected to the vine. John 15, you can study that this week. Without being connected to him, without being connected to the heart of the Father, to the vine, we can't produce anything. Okay, let's just pray for a second. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for your heart of love. Extreme, pure, uncontaminated love for us. We want to be changed by your love. Father, you are with us. You are in us. Give us a revelation of your presence with us, God. Your presence with us. And Father, help us to be more like Mary
and less like Martha, that we can get our priorities right. We can sit at your feet. We can worship you. We can connect back with you because you are with us. Your gaze is upon us. And you long to just speak to us, to hold us, to wrap us in your arms of love and peace, to fill us up with joy. Whatever it is that we're needing, Father, you have it. You're an unlimited source for us. Help us yield. Help us yield our spirits and ourselves to you fully. Father, I pray that you would take my words today and make it revelation, make it life and power from your word to each of our hearts. Father, that it wouldn't be my words, that it would be your words today, Jesus. Yes. We thank you, God. Yes. We thank you, Spirit of the living God. Yes. We thank you for moving in this place. Have your way. We take away and we lay down all distractions, all worries, all thoughts. We just lay them right now down at your feet, at your cross, and we say, we love you, Jesus. We yield to you. We open our hearts to you to receive fully what you have for us. We want to enter in to a new level of intimacy. And we trust, Holy Spirit, that is your calling. That is your calling, Holy Spirit, to lead us further into the presence of Jesus. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ooh, we could stop there, but there's so much more. Okay, here we go. Are you with me? We're good? Okay, so we're going to go to our key scriptures. And all of this intimacy, it is Zephaniah 3:17. He will quiet you with his love. Okay, awesome. You can write that down. Tanya was back there warming up her wrist. She said she was getting her pen ready. Write everything down. Okay. Intimacy is about being so in love with who Jesus is that we don't move our gaze from him, away from him. Our focus, that we don't move our focus off of him, that we allow him to be our number one source to fulfill every need that we have. Help us, Jesus, to do that. And David gives us a picture of what intimacy looks like. In Psalm 27, that's our key scripture today. So you can open there. Psalm 27, we're going to hang out there a little bit. And all of this psalm is really awesome, but I'm going to focus on verse 4 and 5. And this is what David is just, I love the psalms. Don't you love the psalms? He's just pouring out his heart. I think, you know, when I think of intimacy, when I think of anyone in the Bible, it's David. Showed us what intimacy, he's a model for us of intimacy, along with, of course, Jesus, the intimacy with the Father, right? But these psalms, yes, it just shows us David's heart. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for this word. So one thing I ask from the Lord, if you had only one thing that you could ask of the Lord, what would it be? Because this is the one thing, ding, 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 this is the one thing that David's asking. I wouldn't ask, you know, for a new car or something. Of all the things I could ask Jesus for, that I'm not wasting it on something, you know, that comes and goes, or some material or tangible, you know, thing. But I think David is so wise because he's saying the only thing, the one thing I asked from the Lord, this only, like only this is what I'm seeking.
that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. That's what he just wanted to be there. He wanted to be in the house of the Lord where the Spirit of God dwells and lives. He wanted to be connected. He wanted that intimacy. That was the one thing that David is asking for. We don't need other people to fill us up and satisfy us. We don't need our work, you know, our jobs, fame, fortune, power, ministry even, to fill us up. We don't need horoscopes. We don't need palm reading. And the list could go on and on and on. Or anything or anyone else to fill us up, to satisfy us, or to give us direction, to tell us what to do or where to go, to lead us and guide us. We only need Jesus.
Amen.
We only need Jesus. Are we asking him to help us to seek, to dwell, and to gaze? Those are the three verbs of the message. To seek, to dwell, and to gaze. So David is saying, this only do I seek. To seek means to go in search or quest of, to pursue, to try to obtain, to explore. Okay, I remembered, when I looked up this definition, I remembered a roommate that I had, a dear friend of mine. She and I received Jesus around the same time. And she cracked me up because she would look for something and she would look like this. This is what not to do. I love you, Katie, but you look for stuff. She'd be like, have you seen my pack of tissues? Have you seen my pack of tissues? I don't know where it is. I just don't know where it is. And it's like right there. And she's lifting stuff up and she's just like, okay. And then she'd give up and get frustrated like really quickly. And it's like, Katie, it's right there, what you just picked up. And she's like, flailing, you know, papers are flying and stuff. Okay. To seek is to go in search or quest of, to be like so intent on that. You're like seeking it out. Like I don't know how else to, you're so determined, that ambition to find that thing, to go in quest of it. And you're not going to easily give up or get frustrated. Help us, Holy Spirit,
right?
To press in, to press in further. Persist until you find it. To persist. So that's what he's saying. This only I seek. I'm pursuing it with all of my being. I want to pursue the presence of God. I want to pursue that connection with his heart. Ooh, I'm preaching to myself up here. Okay, I need this. This is good. So that's to seek. Then, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life.
Amen.
To dwell is to live or stay as a permanent, I repeat, permanent resident.
Amen.
Or to reside. Let's not be these transient visitors that come and go, like from a hostel, that, oh, I'm in the house of the Lord and then I'm out. Like, I have these compartments of my life that, like, when I come to church on Sunday, well, that's sacred and that's holy and that's when I'm with the presence of God. And then when I leave here, it's like these compartments. Oh, well, I get back into the presence of God and I'm in this holy place when I come back here on Tuesday night for prayer and cell group. No, like, all God wants all of the parts of our lives. When we're in Walmart, when we're in the shower, when we're doing whatever we do, that we can be connected to him, that we can have that intimacy, to be a permanent resident, to just stay there. Because God's presence is with us. It's inside of us. It hovers over us. But are we there? Are we like connecting with what's inside of us? Or are we coming and going? We got to let those Marthas die. Die, flesh, die, Martha. I'll get some funny looks, right? Like, who is she talking to? Who is Martha? Oh, my gosh. All the days of his life. Well, let's back up. In the house of the Lord, aren't we the house of the Lord?
Amen.
We are the temple of the living God. We are the Holy Spirit. We need to take care of ourselves and to commune and connect there. We need to be a carrier of his presence, just like a container that he can just fill us up. But he's not going to be able to do that, and we're not going to be yielded to that until we, like, calm down from the Martha syndrome, right? And we're just yielded and ready.
Amen.
Because we are the house of the Lord. So it's not that we have to wait here to just come here when we come here to this building, but we can just connect with the house of the Lord, with ourselves, with the Spirit of God inside of us anytime, wherever we are, in the middle of the night. And then it says at the end of that, all the days of his life. So that implies permanent, right? All the days, not just Sunday, not just Tuesday night or whenever your cell group meets or whatever. All the days of his life. And isn't our life, we have this earthly life, but we have another life that we're looking forward to, right?
Yeah.
Woo-hoo. We have eternal life. So all the days of our life, forever. That means siempre, forever.
Man.
Okay, forever. All the days of our life to dwell, to be there permanently, residing, hanging out with Jesus. That sounds pretty good. Sign me up for that. Help me, teach me, Jesus. In the everyday moments, in our, like I said, when I'm coming and going, to just connect with him, to just share with him. We want to park there. We want to be focused on him. And then the other verbs, so we have seek, we have dwell, then we have gaze. Just the way that, just the sound of that word, it's like so dreamy, isn't it? Just gaze. Just want to gaze at you. Okay, stay focused, Sarah. Okay. I'm looking at someone back there. Okay, to gaze, right? To look steadily and intently. This is the definition. To look steadily and intently, as with great curiosity, interest, pleasure, or wonder. Don't we have all those things, attitudes toward God sometimes? Curiosity, interest, pleasure, wonder. To look steadily and intently, just to gaze. I just want to gaze on his beauty. To gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. And we could kind of mesh this with something that Enoch said last week, really stuck with me about what are God's thoughts on a particular situation? And like, help me, Jesus, to not just blurt out my reaction, my fleshly reaction to something, but to say, pause, wait, God, what do you say about this situation?
Amen.
So with that same idea, we could gaze on the beauty of the Lord, his beauty. Where is it? Is it Galatians that says, think on what is right, what is just, what is noble, what is la la la, et cetera, et cetera. Philippians, thank you. Sorry, Philippians 2, 4, thank you. To gaze on the beauty. So when we have a situation, instead of seeing a problem, a lack, a sickness, instead of seeing that thing, that situation, that mountain, I just want to gaze on his beauty and have his thought about it. I want to see what's right, what you say, Jesus, about this situation. I want to just gaze at your sovereignty, at your power, at your miracle working power, your love, your faithfulness. That's what I want to stay fixed on. Because then whatever we fix on, our eyes on, whatever we're gazing on, that's what becomes bigger to us.
Yes.
It becomes magnified.
Yes.
And actually, I think that's part of the definition of to glorify, means to make it bigger, right? To magnify it. So if we're gazing there, our view is steadily and intently fixed on the Lord, on Jesus, the author author and perfecter of our faith,
yes,
then we're seeing his beauty and him instead of the problem or the mountain or the situation, the lack, or I'm broke or I'm sick or I'm tired or whatever. And that's what we can move in then.
Yes, amen.
Because that's what we're fixed on, and that's therefore that's our thoughts as well. God, what do you say about this? What do you see about this? Because that's what I'm choosing to see. Like Enoch says, I don't deal with problems. I deal with provisions.
Amen.
Okay? And I love that. That's so good for us. That's so practical. We want to deal with provisions that comes from the beauty of the Lord.
Yes.
From the fullness, like we read in the beginning in Colossians, the fullness of Jesus.
Yes.
Because he has a solution from his fullness, from all understanding and all wisdom, from that verse that we read earlier, Colossians 2. He has a solution for our situation.
Yes.
And just like Kezia, when we slow ourselves and just realize that the Father the whole time is calling us because he wants to give us the answer. He wants to give us that wisdom. He wants to give us that understanding. And it just breaks my heart sometimes. And I go, I repent that, Lord, I'm like all over the place, but here I am struggling. And the Lord's going, I'm over here. I'm right here. Like, just, I'm going to quiet you with my love so that you can hear me and you can see me and you can receive from my heart. Oh, sorry, Lord, for the times that we are so distracted, but yet we're struggling and we're flailing and we're floundering like drowning in the water. And he's like, I'm trying to get this to you, you know? I asked one time, I just wanted to share this. It's just an example of intimacy with the Lord. I asked the Lord to minister to me. I was about to go to a friend of mine from college, her wedding. And it was a time when all my friends were getting married. And it was like, you know, you hear that, always a bridesmaid, never a bride. And I was like, trying not to be bitter and, you know, like, and I said, Lord, just, I don't want to be bitter. And I decided I'm not going to be bitter. I want to celebrate with my friend for what you are doing and what you've done in her life. And so just, I asked him, just minister to me at this wedding. Ooh, did he? When we ask, he will give us.
Yes.
So her new father-in-law, the groom's father, was by himself at the wedding because he had just lost his wife. Okay, so the mother-in-law or the groom's mother had just died a couple months before after a long battle with cancer. And I was just so, like, during the ceremony especially, I was so, like, perplexed and like looking at this man and just like he looks so joyful and he looks so peaceful. And I was like really confused by this because God knew that in my heart I had this wrong thing, this wrong thought, this wrong schema, if you will, that like thinking that another person is what fills you up and completes you. So I was like, so like, how is he even like happy at his son's wedding without his wife next to him? And I was reflecting on this the next day or that weekend, and I could go back and find this journal because I know I was writing and like writing out these questions. And then I just got this download and God said to me, it's because he always had me first. He has me at the center of his heart, not his wife. And I was like, what? Like that was such a shift. But that just spoke to my spirit. And then that just led me just to receive more and more revelation that Jesus is my husband and that he is my first love and he is the lover of my soul, and that no person is going to fulfill that, that I need to go to the source.
Amen.
I need to go to the source. Because he told me the secret of that man, how he can be joyful and in peace, and you see him rejoicing, even though, yeah, his heart's hurting because his wife isn't with him. But he has me at the center, and I'm filling him up, and I'm giving him that smile and that peace and that joy that you see. And I was just like, wow. Okay, I want that, Lord. I don't know how I'm going to get that, but I want that. Like at that time, you know, that was like 10 years ago, more than 10 years ago. I don't know when that was. I'll have to ask my friend, what year did you get married? But that intimacy, that closeness, that he is meeting all of our needs.
Amen.
Okay, so the consequences of intimacy, or the fruit of intimacy with the Lord. And our time is ticking away, so I'm going to just kind of move through these really quick so we can get to the, because I do want to do the focus groups today. So here's where you can get your, if you're writing notes, get your wrist ready. So the consequence of intimacy with the Lord, these are all like things that the Lord was giving me. Okay, rest. He gives us rest when we are intimate with him. The striving fades away. Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest. Will just rest there in the shadow of the Almighty. Okay. Next fruit is peace. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. So we'll have peace. There's peace in his presence. Safety is another fruit from Psalm 31, verse 19 and 20. And of course, there's a lot of other scriptural references that you could give for each of these. These are just the ones that the Holy Spirit was pointing me to. So Psalm 31, 19 and 20. How abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all, on those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from all human intrigues. You keep them safe in your dwelling from accusing tongues. Don't we need that today in this day and age that we're living? We need his safety, his protection. I want to be in that refuge. Deliverance, he gives us deliverance. And in a way, that moment, what I shared with you, that revelation, that was deliverance for me. Deliverance from believing that another person would be the missing piece that I needed, and then I would feel complete. That was deliverance. Psalm 32, verse 7. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. It's a beautiful picture of his love for us.
Amen.
He wants us to be free in his presence. And he will do what it takes to deliver us from anything that's holding us in bondage so that we can be more and more free to experience more of that intimacy, that connection. Because there's always more that he has for us. I think we've only touched the tip of the the icing on the cake, or tip of the iceberg. He gives us reward. Hebrews 11, verse 6. It starts with, and with faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. We get a reward for seeking our God? How amazing is that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's already a reward just to have his presence, just to know that the creator of the universe wants to hang and be with me. And we get a reward on top of that. He rewards us when we earnestly, diligently seek him. Obedience. God gave me this one this morning. 1 Kings 8, verse 58. May he turn our hearts toward him, to walk in obedience to him and keep the commands, decrees, and laws he gave our ancestors. Now, that was Solomon's prayer at the dedication after the Ark of the Ark of the Temple was brought, or the Ark was brought to the temple. Okay, that was his like prayer of dedication. May he turn our hearts to him, to walk in obedience to him and keep the commands. It's like when you've hung out in the presence of God, when you've had like, you know, whether it's whatever you want to call it, the glory of God, just an amazing time of connection with his heart. And then he says, I want you to go to your neighbor and preach the gospel. It's like, okay. I'm just like, okay. I'll do the hard stuff because I love you so much and you just gave to me. And like, I mean, we don't need even a moment or a tingle like that because you gave Jesus to me on the cross already. So shouldn't I obey you? Right? It's not just about a tingle or like this warm, fuzzy feeling. I'm like talking about that a little bit, but it's not just, it's just living our lives connected and intimate with him. Yeah, there are moments when we might get a warm fuzzy or we really enter into his presence and like something, you know, we can feel it tangibly or he speaks to us or, you know, we get a revelation. And praise God, we want more of that. And that's what, you know, we pursue that. But we also just want in the coming and going that we can hear his voice when we're inside Walmart, you know, that we can just dwell there in his temple all the time. So obedience, we say, okay, God, whatever you say, send me. Obedience flows out of us when our heart is turned in honor and love towards someone. Okay, another one, favor. The example of Noah in Genesis 6, verse 8 and 9. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. It seems like the way it's telling us the consequence first. It's saying he found favor in the eyes of the Lord because he was a righteous man, he was blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. And when I read that, it was like, that's the intimacy. He's walking, I mean, all of it, right? The obedience, he was blameless, he's righteousness, but that especially, he walked faithfully with God. There it is. He walked faithfully. And because of that, the consequences is that he found favor in the eyes of the Lord. I read this sometime about, I don't even remember, it was like an author. I was reading a book and it was like a minister, a pastor, I think, whose book I was reading. And it said something about, he was talking about favor. And when there's intimacy and there's love and there's connection, he was talking about his daughter and how he could be like in a meeting with somebody. But if his daughter knocked on the door, mm-hmm. guess what? She had favor. Mm-hmm. Because the heart of the father is moved toward his children. And she was seeking him, right? She was seeking out her daddy. And he said, you know what? I'll either interrupt the meeting or bring her in and just sit her on my lap and just hug her while I'm continuing to have the meeting. And that's favor. Right. We have favor. And that's what God says. Come on in. Just come on in. Sit on my lap. Another consequence, being filled up with him. Who wants that? Overflowing with Jesus's presence. We are and can be even more supernatural carriers of his presence and glory. Psalm 34, verse 5. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. And then skip down to verse 10. It says, the lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing.
Hallelujah.
Those who seek the Lord, they lack no good thing. That's enough, right?
Yes.
We lack no good thing.
Amen.
Disclaimer here, warning. You're going to want more.
It comes with a hunger and a thirst that's woken up. I want more. And you taste a little bit and I want more. Yeah. Do you ever taste a food like that? And it's just like you can't eat just one. For me, it's anything chocolate, Skittles, M&M's.
Yes.
Can't eat just one. You want a little more. You want a little more because, ooh, that tastes good. That tastes good, and I want more. And fruit in our lives. When we're connected to the vine, we don't have to strive. You never walk through like a vineyard and hear the grapes or see the grapes, or the vines, I got to produce some fruit. It just happens. Or apples on the tree. It just happens. When we're so filled with His presence, when we're connected, when we're seeking and we're dwelling and we're gazing on the beauty of the Lord, it's just going to happen. So I'm exhorting us individually and collectively as the body, as my Father's house. God is moving us into a new time.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so He's just saying, be full of my presence. Seek my face. Just soak in me. Be drunk. Be filled with me. And you know what? We don't have to strive to get these seats filled. It's just going to happen. What would it look like for all of us if we are 100% living in intimacy with the Lord? Because it's just going to flow out of us. We're going to have people following us.
Amen.
What is the hope? Give me the reason for your hope. Give me the reason for your peace. Give me the reason for your joy. And these seats aren't going to be empty long. So let's together press in to the heart of God. Press in. Because like Enoch here, just like He's calling us. He's there. He's ready. He's with us. He's right there. Let's focus. Let's allow, yield to Him quieting us with His love, because He's just ready to fill, just pour, so that we overflow.
Amen.
So, real quick, something practical. How do we foster intimacy? Oh my gosh, there's so many ways. Be creative. Have you ever heard of the concept of the love languages? Mm-hmm. That we all are created with, you know, certain ways that we express or show love. I was thinking about Jesus was like, He had all of the love languages operating full, right? The heart of God gives us, help me if I can get them all. Quality time is a way that we express. It's one love language. Okay, quality time. Words of affirmation. God loves it when we give Him that. Jesus, I love you. You are my King. You are the King of my heart. He just goes, ooh, yeah. We're giving Him words of affirmation. He gives us all of these. But we can, at different days, different times, we can express in these different love languages back to God our heart for Him. So quality time, that's a big one. Intimacy, quality time. Just hang out. Just soak. Words of affirmation, acts of service, doing things to bless people. Be, soak in His presence. Spend some quality time and say, God, what's on your heart? Who's on your heart that I can bless and that I can minister to? Touch is another one. And aren't there five? Gifts. Yeah, gifts. He loves gifts. Our money, our offerings, our tithes. And there's so many other gifts that we can give to His heart. So whatever way that comes naturally to you to express love, do that. Express it to God. And it can be different in different stages. Be creative. Ask the Holy Spirit. One time when I was real quick, and then we'll wrap up. When I was living in Argentina and I was in the ministry house, the community house, and we had a school going on, and so there were, actually I was a student in the counseling, biblical counseling school, and we were doing lots of inner healing and things, going deep with the Lord, and the Holy Spirit was like,
had me for a time wake up in the middle of the night and go to the secret place, which was in the house, the living room. So I'd wake up and I'd like sneak, and I was in a room in all these bunk beds with like 10 girls. And so in the morning we would have like our quiet time. We'd all like go off, but this is a house with like filled with like 30 people. And you're trying to have your quiet time sitting next to somebody else who's got their headphones in, and it's, oh, bless the Lord. And they're singing with their music, and you're like, I just can't. It was like really hard for me because of the people around me. And they were just like, I'm like trying to be intimate with the Lord and somebody's right here. And it was just like not working for me. So the Holy Spirit said, wake up in the middle of the night. And I would go into this big, beautiful, room, the dining room that we had at like 2 or 3 in the morning. Oh, that was awesome. That was so awesome. It was just me and the Lord, and I would dance in there. In the beginning, it was like, is somebody going to come in? Is somebody going to come in here? It was a shock when I walked in one time, and there was a project or a test the next day, and there were people in there doing their work. And I'm like, people, get your work done. Like, don't procrastinate. This is my time, my space. You know, that was like upsetting to me because they were in my space, you know. But anyways, I just had some really sweet times of dancing to the Lord, Him ministering to me, me ministering to Him. And then I would go back to bed and ask Him to help me like calm down from that. But it was like such the secret place, like such intimate, special moments with the Lord. So, I mean, if you dance, if you sing, whatever, just press in, ask the Holy Spirit, how can I be, show me how I can grow in intimacy, how I can be in your presence more. And whatever that looks like for you, then do it. Okay. It's 11:30. What should we do? Holy Spirit, what do we do? What do we do? I think, are you guys okay if we don't do focus groups today, actually, and we just pray and we just have some time in His presence together? Is that okay with everyone? Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. That's 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. The amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. May the Lord bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for encouraging our hearts that you are an available, personal God who is so ready to quiet us with your love.
Yes.
Thank you that your gaze, your sight is already upon us. You live inside of us. Help us to quiet ourselves, Father, to sit at your feet, to worship you, to connect with you, to hear your thoughts on situations and circumstances that we face. We pursue wholeheartedly your presence. Help us this week. Help us in this very day, God, as we're even doing other things, as we're coming and going, to be intimate with you. You are with us always, but let us make you a part of what we're doing. And we thank you for your extravagant love. We thank you for intimate friendship. We thank you for teaching us, Holy Spirit, how to grow that intimate friendship.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. You are an amazing God. You're a glorious Savior, and we love you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you do want prayer, come on up. last chance.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House Podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.